Today we're going to meditate on our gospel reading, which we just heard from Luke 2. But before we do that, let's pray. Gracious God, as we spend some time reflecting on your word to us today, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to say to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are, another Christmas Eve, another Christmas day done. I wonder how you're feeling today. Maybe you're still full of Christmas spirit and excitement. Good on you if you are. Maybe you're winding down after a pretty big few days. Maybe you're enjoying a quiet house after that big lunch or dinner. Or maybe you're still waiting for the rellies to leave. But the Christmas season isn't over just yet, as Pastor Ben mentioned before. We love it in the church so much that it hangs around for 12 days until Epiphany. So that gives us a little bit of extra time now to ponder that Christmas message a little bit more. There isn't a whole lot in the gospel narratives between Jesus' birth and then the start of his adult ministry, but our reading today is one of those few texts. So when Jesus was 8 days old and Mary and Joseph had him circumcised, according to the Jewish custom, now at 40 days old, they bring him to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated to God, also according to Jewish custom. Now, not every child, and not even every male child, was dedicated to God in this way. In the book of Numbers, God declares the house of Levi to be set apart for special service to God, and that all firstborn boys would be dedicated for a life of service in the priestly office. Mary and Joseph knew that Jesus wasn't just any firstborn male child, but that he was also the Son of God, and that he was Israel's Messiah. So it seems that they felt that it was appropriate to dedicate their son to God in this way. So off they go to the temple in Jerusalem. And there they find Simeon and Anna, two faithful people of God. And today we're going to focus just in particular on the interaction with Simeon. So the Song of Simeon is probably pretty familiar to a lot of us as the song that we sing after communion. Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the nations and for the glory of your people Israel. So today gives us a good opportunity to reflect on what these words of Simeon mean. He speaks about three things in particular: Simeon's peace, God's salvation, and Jesus' presence. Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace according to your word. God had made a promise to Simeon. He said that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. Simeon could have been waiting hours, days, weeks, months, years, even decades. We don't know. But judging from his reaction, it's a pretty big deal for him. You can imagine the sense of peace that Simeon would get from having such a promise fulfilled. Now, I'm the kind of person who makes lists. To-do lists are how I get things done. If it's not on the list, probably won't get done. Maybe you can relate, maybe I'm just a bit weird, but when I tick something off the list, I get a sense of satisfaction. Completing something you've been meaning to do for a while always feels good, and especially when the whole list is done. Just imagine getting home after a long day at work or school, or submitting that major assignment, finishing washing the dishes after that big Christmas lunch, or unpacking the last box after moving house. That feeling could be satisfaction, sense of achievement, maybe even relief. But sometimes it's a bit deeper than that too. Sometimes it's a sense of peace. Ever since the Spirit had spoken to him and made him a promise, Simeon had one purpose on his mind. He was waiting earnestly for the consolation of Israel, the arrival of the promised Son of God. In fact, the whole nation was getting pretty desperate. The Jewish people were under Roman rule and experienced a pretty tough time as a religion and as a culture and as a people. God was faithful in his promise to Simeon and to Israel. So Simeon's sense of peace is so strong that he says, God, I'm ready to die. I'm at peace. You've done what you've promised. Kind of sounds a little bit morbid, doesn't it? But that's what he means when he says these words. Now, I haven't had children myself, but I've heard from many parents and grandparents that one of the most significant moments in their life is when they held their child or grandchild for the first time. If you've experienced that, just try and capture that for a moment, and then multiply it by 10. That's what Simeon's feeling at the moment. But why? How could seeing Jesus create such joy and such peace in someone? His next words, "Because my eyes have seen your salvation." Israel was in desperate need of a savior. The scriptures and their whole lives even pointed towards this promised Messiah. Their history was full of ups and downs, highs and lows. They'd been freed from slavery. They wandered the desert. They entered into the promised land. Then they're forced out of it into exile. Then they come back into the land. And now they're held under Roman captivity. They need saving. Our lives too are full of ups and downs, highs and lows. We too have times of faith and times of doubt. We have conflicts with each other. We suffer loss and illness. We achieve great things and we make great mistakes. We too need saving. "My eyes have seen your salvation," says Simeon. This child is God's salvation. The Holy Spirit gave Simeon eyes to see who this child really is. There's no such thing as coincidences when it comes to the story of salvation. God said that the Messiah would come from the line of David. He did. The angel said to the shepherds that they would find him in a manger of all places. They did. And God promised Simeon that he would see Jesus before he died. Guess what? He did. God had a plan all along, and this was just another stage of that plan. But God's salvation isn't just a theory or an idea. It's real, and it changes us. It happened in time and space. It happened through real people. It happened in a real manger and on a real cross and in a real tomb. And salvation happened to you at your baptism. And it happens to you every time that you receive Christ's body and blood, which we will today. And it happens to you every time that you hear his word. You have prepared your salvation in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the nations and for the glory of your people, Israel. God prepared his salvation in the presence of all people, not just the Levites, not just the Israelites even, but all people. He sent his son into the world so that he could be present with all of us. Just remember that this whole encounter is happening in the temple, which is pretty much the pinnacle of God's presence for the Jewish people. Luke's gospel begins there with Zechariah, and then later 12-year-old Jesus is found at the temple. He often taught in the temple. He turned the tables in the temple. And then when he was crucified, the temple curtain was torn in two. And finally, the gospel ends with the disciples praising God in the temple. Now, as Christian people today, we don't worship God in a temple, but we do worship God in a dedicated worship building, which we call a church. Now, we don't have to be in this building for God to be present with us, since he promises to be present where two or three people gather in his name. But being together in a space dedicated for worship helps us to prepare to receive him and his gifts. Simeon received this child into his arms. Every time we receive the sacrament or hear the word, we too receive Jesus into our ears, into our mouths, and ultimately into our hearts. Yes, Jesus has ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand as we confess, but by the Holy Spirit, he promises to be present with us always. He's alongside us in our ups and downs, in our highs and lows, in times of faith and in our times of doubt, when we have conflicts with each other, when we suffer loss and illness, when we achieve great things, and when we make great mistakes. Simeon's song reminds us that Jesus is all we need. Once we've received him, our lives are entirely in his hands. Simeon's words have comforted many people as they faced the reality of death, and they remind us of the peace we have because of what Christ has done for us. So if there was a to-do list for entry into heaven, it's been completed on our behalf by Christ himself. So now we get to live in that peace, trusting in the salvation that he's given to us. And that peace surpasses all human understanding, but may it keep you in body and soul until we're called to our eternal home. Amen.